Well, let's ask the Lord always should do this in your personal reading of the Bible and also when we preach, that we ask the Lord for his help as we consider his word. Yes, so Father, we do this because we want to express to you our dependence upon you to teach us by your Spirit. We know that the words of your word is only understood through the help of your Spirit. And we thank you for your willingness to teach us if we would humble ourselves and be learners of you. And thank you for the great things that you want to reveal to us, not only about why we're here, but who you are and the great God you are. And I thank you for the magnificent word that we will be looking at today. I know we've got a bit of working through Revelation 18, but Lord, Revelation 19, what great declarations, what praise and glory, what hallelujahs are going to be given to you on that great day when you have victory. And we just thank you for these things that we can look at in our service this morning. So we ask for your help. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Yep, so this morning we continue our series through the book of Revelation. And we'll be specifically looking at Revelation chapter 18 verse 1 through to Revelation chapter 19 verse 6. And there is one glorious truth that should be outstanding as we look at this passage, and it is those three words, our God reigns. In fact, that's pretty much the main theme of the whole Bible. Our God reigns, isn't it? And what a reign he has. I'm so glad that as we declare that our God reigns, we know that he's not a God far off. He's not a God hands off. He is so involved in our world. Do you appreciate that? He sees everything. He catches every tear in his bottle. He knows our heart. He is so involved in our world. And even as Christians, so often we forget that. He's not hidden away and far off. And in his power and might, in his righteousness and justice, in his grace and mercy, our God reigns. And if you know our God personally, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through the repentance of our sins and receiving Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, you will be most happy to know that our God reigns forever. Because we know our God is the best. The world hates God. Let's be plain about that. But we love him. The world does not want him to rule over us. But we want him to rule. He's such a great God. And as I think about these things this morning, just a few introductory thoughts. In the days we live, I love to think like this. COVID doesn't rule, for our God reigns. How do you feel about that? In my own personal life, in the last few weeks, in the passing of my dear Uncle Errol and my own dad, death doesn't rule, for our God reigns. Wow, that is fantastic. Of course, we need to have faith in Christ. In the context of Revelation 18 and 19, this fallen world that has turned its back on God, that mocks Christ and blasphemes his name, it doesn't rule, for our God reigns. And that's what we're going to see as we look at these great chapters near the end of Revelation. So firstly, let us recall that Revelation 17 and 18 is a description of our present world before Christ returns. It's a very special section in the book of Revelation to give us information, significant information about the days that we live in before the glorious return of Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who'll be coming back powerfully and gloriously. So this is a very special section for us. And do you remember what we looked at 2 weeks ago? Probably not. You know how we are. Hope you do remember something. If you might remember it though, because Revelation 17 is like this strange chapter. And it's got things about the great harlot and the great city of Babylon and some scarlet beast. What was all that about? Well, it was just very descriptive to describe our present world. Now the great harlot stands for it's the same as Babylon the Great. We can see that in Revelation 17 verse 18. Revelation 17 verse 18, the woman, also known as the great harlot in Revelation 17, says, "The woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth." And this woman and this city are one and the same, and it really stands for this fallen world. And this fallen world rules over all the nations. And there's a threefold purpose in this rule. And that threefold purpose is made very clear in Revelation 17. One purpose is for them, the ones who rule this fallen world, to become filthy rich through sin. Ever thought of it like that? Why do we have sin abounding in our world? People get rich from it. And that comes out in Revelation 17 verse 4. "The woman was clothed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a gold cup full of abominations and of the unclean things of her immorality." The other reason for the rule is to make the whole world be driven away from the ways of God into the ways of sin. And that's in Revelation 17 verse 2, where it says, starting in verse 1, "Come here, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed acts of immorality, and those who dwell on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her immorality." Wow, pretty full-on things, aren't they? There's something going on in our world. It's been happening for a long time. Don't you realise that? This world is hostile to God. There's something being played out. And people are getting rich through sin, and we've been conned into sinning, and there's something else that's happening. The other great purpose this system has is in Revelation 17 verse 6, and it says, "And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered greatly." So this system is opposed to God and opposed to Christ's people. That's why there is persecution. That's why there are people who are martyred even today, because the system is opposed to Christ and his people. Wow. So that's what we have looked at in Revelation 17. But when we come to Revelation 18, wow, this chapter is great, because this chapter tells us that no matter how powerful Babylon the Great is, no matter how powerful our world system is, no matter how powerful it is in terms of being opposed to God and his son Jesus Christ, this world will fall. This world will come down because God reigns. And so let's have a look at Revelation chapter 18. And it says there in verses 1 to 3, "After these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illumined with his glory. And he cried out with a mighty voice, saying, Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She has become a dwelling place of demons and a prison of every unclean spirit and a prison of every unclean and hateful bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich by the wealth of her sensuality." What is God wanting us to see here? His fallen world will come down. Right now, it is really strong. Even in our Western society, this world is very strong in opposing God and his ways. Don't you know that? It is just such a difficult thing to have God's ways even brought into our own society that was built on Christian values. And that's because of the great harlot, as the Bible calls her, or the great city of Babylon that rules this world under Satan. Under Satan. Let's keep reading a little bit more. Let's now look at verses 6 to 8 of Revelation 18. "Pay her back even as she has paid, and give back to her double according to her deeds. In the cup which she has mixed, mix twice as much for her. To the degree that she glorified herself and lived sensuously, to the same degree give her torment and mourning. For she said in her heart, I sit as a queen and I am not a widow, and will never see mourning. For this reason, in one day her plague will come, pestilence and mourning and famine, and she'll be burnt up with fire, for the Lord God who judges her is strong." Wow, what great words they are. You know, this is a time of incredible patience by God, being so patient for us to turn to his son. But the day will come when he will use his almighty power to smash the systems of this world. And it'll happen instantly, so quickly, in a day. Gone. How do you feel about that? That's amazing, isn't it? And when that happens, have a look at the response of this world. Revelation 18, verses 9 and 10 says, "And the kings of the earth, who committed acts of immorality and lived sensuously with her, will weep and lament over her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance because of the fear of her torment, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city Babylon, the strong city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come.'" What are the people of the world doing? Mourning. They are really upset. You read further in Revelation 18, Revelation chapter 18 and 19. "And they were crying out as they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What city is like the great city?' And they threw dust on their heads and were crying out, weeping and mourning, saying, 'Woe, woe, the great city in which all who had ships at sea became rich by her wealth, for in 1 hour she has been laid waste.'" There is going to be great mourning when this world falls down. Wow. But look at verse 20. Who's this speaking to? Us. "Rejoice over her," that means over her falling, "O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, because God has pronounced judgment for you against her." In God's great rule, he will bring this world down because of us, because of his love for us, because he sees what this world does to us, how it torments us and tortures us, and this world hates us for being a follower of Christ. God sees it all. The day will come in his great power. Because our God reigns, this world will fall. So why is the fall of Babylon highlighted in Revelation 18? It's for our benefit, the people of God. God wants you to consider the outcome of this world that stands opposed to you. Consider the outcome of this world that sells you every day sensuality and worldly pleasure. Consider the outcome of this world that tells you that life is all about wealth and possessions. Consider the outcome of this fallen world that lures you into thinking that life is all about you and your happiness. Consider this fallen world that kills the unborn children, that kills off the elderly, that kills off Christians. The day will come when this world will fall, because our God reigns. And God wants us to be aware of these things so that we might remember, even though it can be so painful living here on earth, and we've got it very easy in Australia compared to other countries, God wants us to know this world is fleeting. It is passing away. And be faithful. Be faithful to the end. Let's look at some scriptures that speak about that. In 1 John chapter 2, 15 to 17, we read, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. And the world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God abides forever." You've got to look at it like that. This world is strongly opposed to God. The political systems of our world, the economic systems of our world, the education in our world, the philosophies in our world are all opposed to God. But it's only for a time. It's going to pass away because our God reigns. And God calls his people to be faithful. Be faithful. Hang in there. Earlier in Revelation chapter 13, in verse 10, it says, "If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. But this is the perseverance and the faithfulness of the saints." God calls us to faithfulness. And we can be faithful because our God reigns. This world will not endure forever. When I say the world, this fallen world, the world that is opposed to God and His dear Son Jesus. So we are to consider the outcome, and that's going to help you to keep on going. Right, another thing that I want to really highlight out of Revelation 18, I skipped over it, is verse 4. What does verse 4 say? 4 and 5. I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, so that you will not participate in her sins and receive of her plagues. For her sins have piled up as high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities." And I think this verse is a very important verse. Of all the verses in Revelation 18, this is a very key one. God calls His people to come out of this fallen world. And I want to look at this in two senses. The first sense is in regards to salvation. If we do not come out of this world and come to Christ, if we do not repent of our sins and receive Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, if we don't come out, the Bible tells us that we will fall with this world. We will face the judgment that this world will face. We will be condemned. We will be lost eternally. We must hear the cry of the Father, "Come out." Do you understand that? Being a Christian isn't where you just sit in the same place and just go to church. You are actually moving out of something into something else. We are to come out. We are to come out of this fallen world, and we are to come into the wonderful kingdom of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14, we read, "For he delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." I love those verses. And it only can happen when we respond to Christ's grace and we come out. You see how there's a movement? We come out of the kingdom of darkness, out of the kingdom of this fallen world, out of Babylon the Great, and we come into the kingdom of the Son. We come into the kingdom of light. We come into the city of God. That's how we're meant to view it. There's two cities. Are you in the Babylon the Great or in the city of our God, which will become the new Jerusalem one day? Wow, it's a huge thing becoming a Christian. There's such a movement from one camp to another. And I love in Revelation 18 verse 4, God pleading with us, "Come out! Come out!" One of the verses that come to my mind when I consider this is in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 and 18. Listen to these words from a Father who loved us so much. And it says in 2 Corinthians 6, 17 and 18, "Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." I love those words. What a father who doesn't want me to be judged, to be condemned with this fallen world, but to come out to him. And what about my life? I have sinned against you. I have done what is wrong and shameful. God says you're still welcome. Why is that? Because of Jesus. Jesus has cleansed us of all our sins, but we must come out. We must come out and call upon His Son. And then I want to speak to us who think we have come out, and I hope you have come out and we've called on Jesus. How are we going as we live the Christian life? Are we faithful to Christ? Do we keep a distance from being part of this world? There's that phrase, be in the world, but not of the world. And our friends, I'm going to say to you that we're pretty bad here. I think of the churches that Jesus addressed in Revelation 2 and 3. Two of those churches were commended because they were being persecuted and doing the right thing. The other five who weren't being persecuted were challenged by Jesus because they had become worldly. They had lost their first love. They'd compromised their position. They thought they were alive when they're dead. They were lukewarm. And it's just pathetic that we should be like this. If we've come out, then let's remain out of the world. Let's not give ourselves to sensuality and all sorts of other pleasures and desires and to riches and material stuff, because we are meant to be those who have come out, and we need to maintain our holiness. You know, it's interesting. that the Greek word for church is ekklesia. Ekklesia, which means called out ones. You know that? The name church actually implies what we're meant to be. We have been called out of the world to be the people of Christ. Jesus wants us to be following him, to be distinct in this world. Remember, he taught this in Matthew chapter 5. We are to be the salt of the earth. We are to be his light in a dark world. Instead of reading from Matthew 5, I want to read another passage in Philippians chapter 2, 15 and 16. And it says, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverted generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. That's a great passage. What a picture there of how we are meant to be. So many of us might have already heard that call from the Father to come out and to come to Christ. But we need to maintain that coming out, that we don't become compromised and lukewarm in our faith. And so as I think about my own life, I want you to think about your life. What do you need to leave behind? What do you need to come out of? And some of those things to come out of can be difficult. Pray for the Lord to help you, that his Spirit would give you power and strength to turn away from the things that compromise you and be radiant for Christ. Do it today. Be on your knees. Pray and plead for God to work on you, that you might come out and come and live a life pleasing to God. Well, that's Revelation 18. I haven't looked at every verse. Now we're going to come into Revelation 19. So, Revelation 19. We've looked at, consider the outcome of this fallen world. We've looked at, come out. Come out of her. But now we're going to look at, come and adore. Come and adore. And that's what we read here in Revelation 19. We read about a great people coming and adoring our God. Adoring our God, and of course the Lord Jesus through whom God reigns. And there's a fourfold hallelujah mentioned here. How good it is to know that Babylon will fall, this fallen world will fall, because our God reigns. And we shall be saved through Christ, because our God reigns. And God will bring justice upon this earth because our God reigns. And that includes bringing justice to those who have been martyred for the faith. So let's have a look at these six verses in Revelation 19. We're getting to the real crescendo now of Holy Scripture in the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, let me read verses 1 and 2. After these things I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. Wow, don't you love that? Here we go, the first hallelujah. Who are the people singing and praising God? Do you know who that great multitude are? It's not the angels, it's us. It's us who are there praising God. We will be saying hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise the Lord. And what should we be praising the Lord for? It says, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. We will be so ecstatic. There's not a word to describe it. We'll be over the moon. I don't know, that's another phrase we use. We'll be so delighted. We'll be praising God, hallelujah, for three things. For the salvation that he's given us. We're not any better than the rest of the world. But through Christ, we've been saved. We're going to be singing praises and hallelujahs to him who in his reign has enabled me, a sinner, to be made right with the Holy God. Hallelujah to him who has made a way of salvation for people in this fallen world. Hallelujah to Him who gave His only Son to die for me and purchase me with His blood. Hallelujah. And we shall sing hallelujah. Salvation, we'll say to God, and glory to God. Man, we had nothing to do with our salvation. Even the faith we put in God, it was He who helped us even have faith, who opened our blind eyes and stubborn hearts to Him. And all glory to Him. How often we say it so wrongly. I found the Lord rubbish. He found me. Praise His name. Glory to Him. And we shall also sing hallelujah because of His power. Because in His mighty power, He will make Babylon fall. In His mighty power, He will judge this fallen world and avenge. Avenge, He only allowed to do this, only God. He will avenge the blood of the martyrs. He will avenge for His children, those who persecuted His people and they didn't repent. You've got to remember that. Because even if a person who has hated Christians like Saul of Tarsus and persecuted Christians, if we repent, we're also on the right side. But if we don't repent, then judgment shall come. And God will avenge because He loves His people. You know, when I think of these things, you remember in Revelation chapter 6, let me turn to it. You remember in verse 10, the martyrs are there before the throne, and it says, and they cried out with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And God tells them, just wait a while. That doesn't mean God's not going to do it. Because God is a just God. How wrong the world thinks of Him, just as a lovey-dovey Santa Claus figure. He's not. He's God. He is full of love, but He's also just. And He hears the cry of the martyrs, and one day He will avenge for their blood that has been shed. And for every Christian who has been persecuted, God will avenge because He's just and He's powerful. And we're going to say, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Well, let's move to the second hallelujah. And that's in verse 3. And it says, in a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. So why are the people of God excited about God here? Because when God brings Babylon down, this fallen world, it's going to be permanent. No longer will people arise who blaspheme the name of Christ, who oppose the living God. It will all be broken down. Our God reigns. It will be permanent, for He is stronger than the strongest person here on earth. Wow. Hallelujah, we'll be singing. Her smoke rises up forever and ever. Never again will this fallen world oppose God. Never again will God's people be persecuted. It will be done. It will be over. Hallelujah. And then we have in verse 4, the third hallelujah. And it said, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sits on the throne saying, amen, hallelujah. And what I'm so intrigued about there is the four living creatures and the 24 elders, these are the ones who are around the throne. And they are constantly declaring to God, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They're the ones constantly singing to God. But when they hear the people of the Lord sing hallelujah to Him, they will stop and they'll go, amen, hallelujah. Can you imagine that? We're singing to the Lord and then they will come in, amen, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lord. They will join us. They will say, let it be so. Praise His name. All right, so the next part, this is the crescendo now, right? This is it. This is the big one. You've got to think of an orchestra. It's just filling up. Alright. So verses 5 and 6, it says these words. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you His bond servants, you who fear Him, the small and the great. Is that you? Hope you got part of this group. Do you love Jesus? Then you're going to be part of this group. And we're going to have a voice coming from the throne saying, hey you, praise the Lord. Alright, and what's going to happen? Verse 6, then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude and like the sound of a of many waters and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder. That's because there's such a group of us. We look so small on the earth. But all those who've gone before us and those who are Christians right now will all be together. And we're going to be sounding magnificently, right? Better than the bazo singing. A lot better than that, alright? And it's just going to sound so majestic and beautiful. But forget about that. The most important thing is what we're singing. What we're declaring. And there it is. Hallelujah. For the Lord our God the Almighty reigns. It's just so brief and it's so amazing. What's the delight of our soul is that our God reigns. Our God reigns. Our God reigns. It is so exciting to declare that. We are on the right side through faith in Christ. It's all going to end well because our God reigns. Hang in there. Trust Jesus. Love Him with all your heart. If you need to come out of this world and to Christ, do it today. Praise the name of the Lord. He reigns. God reigns. And His Son reigns with Him at the right hand. We're going to look at that next week. Let's pray. Our Father, thank You for how You have allowed this world, according to Your own will, to have a lot of freedom. And it is really sad, especially as a Christian, as I view my own world, I see the way that we have chosen away from You. And today, the days we live in, we see such horrible things said about You and Christians are just made fun of and mocked and ridiculed. But Father, thank You for this special time when You give us opportunity to turn to You. You're still gracious. You still don't want anyone to perish. You have a heart for all people to come to repentance and faith in Jesus. Thank You for that great heart. But we know that there will come a day when You will come and You will clean this world up. And that's bad for us if we're not Your children. But praise You for the salvation You have given us through Jesus. And we know that it is right of You to judge this world and to clean it up and to break this fallen world down. And we thank You for that right You have, because You are our God, You're the Creator, You're the one who made everything. And we're so glad when You will do that, and we're so glad that we've been saved through Jesus. And Lord, I just ask, no matter what we're going through in life, I know sometimes it's hard to see You reigning when our life personally is really hard and difficult, but help us to remember that You love us and care for us, and that in Your reign You will help us. Thank You that You are a very tender God, who sees everything. And thank You for the way You care for us. So Lord, I just pray for all of us. You know, we're all over the place. All of us will be in different states. Please would You minister to our souls today. May Your Holy Spirit just encourage us and help us. And especially with that glorious truth that You do reign. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.